There's no reason why that couldn't be your story.
You don't have an expiration date.
Oh, I love that. This is the Authors and Agents Podcast. All right, Mara, I'm so excited to chat with you today and to pick your brain about all things agenting. So if you could start off by telling me what drew you to publishing and being a literary agent.
Sure. So my mom, she's actually a traditionally published author. So growing up, I had a pretty good idea of what a literary agent did. And in college, I realized that I myself, not only did I love writing, but I also really enjoyed editing. I worked on my college's literary journal for several years, and I loved collaborating directly with the authors. That was my favorite part. And then whenever I was in my grad school program, I got an internship at Martin Literary Management, and that made me realize, okay, so you can be a literary agent, and you can combine your love of reading, writing, editing, all of that into one job. So I interned there for a little over a year, and I found that I really loved forming the relationships with the authors who I got to work with as an intern, and that's something that I wanted to keep doing.
And so here you are. You made it work.
Yeah, for sure. I love combining all of my interests.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that the best when you can combine all your interests, do what you love for your job, right? Like, that's everybody's dream come true. Awesome. So it sounds to me like the answer to this next one, my next question is, when did your love for books begin? It sounds like probably from a young age if your mom was an author.
Definitely. And my mom loves telling the story that growing up, I was crazy about this one particular Barney book. Apparently, I chased her all through the house wanting her to read this book. And she had it literally memorized. She said that she could sit there. She was trying to watch TV. She could just recite it from memory. She was doing the laundry. She could recite it from memory. So I guess about a year old was when it started. I always think of my love for Nancy Drew books, and this started whenever I was 5 or 6. My grandma gifted me a set of like the first 5 Nancy books.
Yes.
And you probably wouldn't think like a murder mystery is the most traditional choice for a kindergartner, but I fell in love with Nancy. She was such a strong female main character, and I adored her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel like my love for like storytelling and probably murder mysteries, because I do love murder mysteries, started with Nancy Drew. I remember having like the first 5 given to me. But also, you know, like speaking of your mom's story, I know several books by heart because my sons like love to read the same ones over and over again that I can just turn the page. I don't even have to look at the words.
Right.
I'm like, yes, I know exactly what this says. So yeah, that's probably really accurate. Well, let's get into some query questions because, you know, people do love to pick agents' brains about queries. So tell me, in your agenting opinion, do you think queries need to stick to like a specified formula? Now, this is not like your agency's like submission guidelines, because duh, like, of course we should stick to those, right? But, you know, like the general makeup of a query, like you should have all your like metadata in the either first paragraph or the last paragraph. You know, people go back and forth on that, and it should be nothing like crazy out of the box. Like, it should all be like in a pattern so that agents, you know what they're looking at. Do you agree with that?
So I always appreciate creativity, so it's not a turn off for me if I get a query that's a little bit untraditional or outside of the box. But I will say that I do appreciate when I get all of the traditional query elements in there in some way. So even if it's not the typical formula, I still like to know what I can expect from the book and a little bit about the author too, who they are as a person, and a little bit about their background.
Okay. So you're all right if it bends a little bit of your expectations, but as long as you're getting, you know, the meat of what you need to have in a query, you're all right with that.
Yeah. As long as the traditional elements are in there in some way, I'm fine if it's not a typical formula.
Awesome. So in your experience of the queries you've come across, what's your like top query no-no?
So I'm going to say giving away too much about the book itself. So I think the query information that relates to the book, it should be pretty straightforward. But I don't want that to be a place where I'm told about a surprise twist or who the true villain is, if it's a mystery. If I want to know all of those details, then I'll check out the synopsis. But typically, I don't read the whole synopsis right away before I read the 10 sample pages. Because I like to read those first few pages as a reader to see how it's going to draw me in.
Oh yeah, I think that's definitely a good reminder for authors, right? Your query is like the back cover copy. You don't give away the twists or the ending in that little summary. It's your elongated elevator pitch. Like, don't drop all of the crazies in there.
Exactly.
So in those first 10 pages that you get, what are some things that will make you stop reading?
So I think a big thing for me is really slow pacing. So I usually won't stop reading. I request the first 10 pages. So I won't stop reading if it's kind of slow in the first two, even three pages. I like to give it some time and see if the action starts to pick up. But if it's not going anywhere by, say, like page 8 or page 9 or even page 10 of that 10-page sample that I asked for, it's probably going to be a pass for me. And that's just because you need that strong hook right off the bat to try to draw readers in. And it's no different. You want your hook to be strong whenever you send those first 10 pages to an agent, because you want the agent to be excited and to want to keep reading.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, beginnings are the hardest part to nail, right?
Sure.
So I mean, you really want to make sure before you're entering this whole process that you've really nailed the beginning, because yeah, if nothing is exciting you happening by page 10, you're like, okay,
yeah, right,
why do I want to keep going?
Yeah, exactly.
So what's your favorite thing to see in a query?
Yeah, so I love when I can see how an author is personally connected to their work. So like if a story is set in Maine and the author includes in their query that they're from the area, I'm like, okay, they're going to have really good descriptions when it comes to setting a place. And if I get a book and it's about a lawyer and the author shares in their query that they themselves went to law school, I'm going to know, okay, so the descriptions of the law office in the day-to-day is probably going to be sound. So I always think that write what you know is still pretty good advice. And if you can show me in the query that you know what you're writing about, and you can connect that to you personally, that's all the better.
Oh yeah, I think that is definitely good. Too bad for those people who write fantasy and like witches and different things, right?
Like, yeah,
that's just what we know of our heart.
Yeah, I think fantasy for sure is a little bit different because it's your own imagination.
For sure, for sure. So what would your like top tips or maybe golden rules be for authors who are querying right now?
Yeah, so I would say to be intentional whenever you're querying. So for sure, cast a wide net, send a lot of queries. Don't feel like you're pigeonholed into just querying one or two, and this is your dream agent, and all of your hopes and dreams are pinned on one person. But also don't send out so many queries that you fill out burnout. So I think if an agent is only taking on one or two new clients per year, you know, do query them, but again, don't let that be your one query that you send out for 2024 or whatever year you're querying in. And also be intentional. So if an agent has made it very clear they don't represent something or they very rarely represent something, say horror, for example, and that's what your book is, then if you query them and you get a pass, you're probably going to feel discouraged by that when it might just be a matter of genre versus your writing itself. So be intentional and query those agents who you think will truly love your work and be excited about it based on what they have previously taken on.
Definitely. You know, I think it is such an important mindset shift as writers go into querying, right? I mean, like you're saying, that could be really, you know, heartbreaking to query this agent who you are super excited about and then you get the pass. But, you know, agent or author, blah, blah, blah. Authors do need to think about it differently, right? Like it is the start of a business transaction. I think too, you know, why I love these interviews, picking agents' brain, because you guys let us behind the scenes of like, okay, you know, querying feels like everything to an author and it is important to agents, but you guys have so many other things that you're doing, like maintaining your list, working with your current list, you know, trying to work with editors, all the different things that you do. So I think it is a good reminder for agents, like to mindset shift, like, you know, your query is at the top of your list, but agents have so many things on their list.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of authors don't realize that if it's a pass, it might just be because it's a matter of like genre, or it could even be a matter of an agent already has a work that's very similar. So they don't want to take on your project because it might compete against something they already have. it's often like not just the writing itself. The writing itself might be amazing and I might still have to pass.
Yeah, that's so hard. That's a hard thing on an author's side to be like, oh, to take that, to swallow that hard pill right there.
Oh, it's hard from an agent's side too when the writing is so good, but it still just has to be a pass for me for one reason or another. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, that is tough. So what is, what is like a really big misconception that people have about your job?
So I think a lot of people think that an agent's job is that you get to read all day. And yes, that's a big part mm-hmm. of it. And I love being able to read through the samples that I've sent and read through the full manuscripts. But there's also a whole nother side of it. And that looks like getting in there, doing the initial calls with authors, doing calls with authors who are representing, editing. That's a big part of my day. Researching editors to create editors lists and maintaining those relationships with editors. So it's not just reading all day. There's definitely a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes to prepare a book for submission. And I think you really don't realize that unless you know a lot about the process.
Yeah. Wouldn't we all love to have that job though, where we just get paid to read all day?
Dream job.
That sounds magical.
Yes.
Dream job. Where do we set that career up? Oh, I love it. What else besides, you know, good writing, a great story that you're really intrigued by, what else do you look for in an author when you're, you know, considering if you want to offer representation to someone?
Yeah, so I think a good social media presence, that's something that's really, it's a big thing right now. And a lot of authors who I'm currently working with, they're debut authors. So I don't expect them to have 2,000 Facebook followers or 3,000 followers on X. I don't have any set number in mind whenever I'm thinking about an author's social media platform. The big thing that I'm considering is, are they willing to create a platform for themselves? And are they willing to work hard and actively grow their numbers? And that's something editors consider too. If they don't have a large following, are they working towards growing that? And what steps are they taking? So that's definitely something I'm looking for, is an author who's willing to put in that work. And also, I love when authors are willing to be coached a little bit and take some edits well. Usually, even in that initial call, I'll talk to authors about some edits that I would like to see and see how they respond to that. If they act like they don't want to do any edits, that might be a little bit of a red flag for an agent, because odds are an editor is going to want changes, no matter how good the writing may seem. Editors are always going to want some changes made. So it's important that an author be willing to be coached.
Definitely. Yeah, that call is such a great time to interview the author and really figure out like communication styles and critique, like, you know, how flexible they are, right, with feedback and all of that, which is so crucial to that like working relationship.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think that being an agent is kind of the end of the journey. And I look at it as it's the start mm-hmm. of the second half of your journey.
Yes. Yes. I remember when I first started out, you know, like learning about the industry and wanting to be published and all of that. And I was like, in my mind, and I think a lot of authors are the same, they're like, okay, getting a literary agent is like the end all be all. I've made it. It's done after that, right? And then they get there and they're like, wait, there's so much left.
Right. And it's a whole different ball game whenever you do have an agent. You have that partnership, but there's also a lot of work that you have to put in that you might not even realize when you first start querying agents.
Yeah, definitely. So tell me, what is the hardest part of your job as a literary agent?
The hardest part, and I touched on this earlier, is honestly saying no to projects when the writing mm-hmm. is so clean and the writing is there. And if I get writing and I love it, but it's too similar to something I already have, I usually will send a personalized rejection with that, just to let them know, hey, it's not you, I promise, it's me.
Are you ever able to like send it to others within your agency if you know that they're looking for something similar, or does that happen like very few times?
I'd say it's pretty rare when that does happen, just because everybody has such different taste at Martin Lit, as I'm sure it is for every agency. But if there's something that I hear someone say in a meeting they're looking for, and then I get that, then yeah, it's definitely something that I can share with them to see, hey, would you be interested?
That would be the hardest part. You're like, oh no, this is so good, but I can't do anything with it.
Yeah,
oh,
definitely.
Hard on both sides. So tell me, you know, when you're on that call with an author, you're kind of interviewing them, maybe seeing, you know, what they think of your ideas for edits. What questions do you think are really important that they ask you as the author to the agent?
Yeah, so I love when they ask, what's my editing style? I'm a very editorial agent, so I like to make sure that we're on the same page. And even as suggesting edits, I try to be mindful of the author, and I always let them know, hey, final edits are always up to you. But that's one question I like is, so how do you approach edits? That lets me know that they're well informed of what the process is going to look like. And then just anytime they ask questions about the process itself, usually they're like, okay, so this is like a silly question, or I feel like I should already know this, but, and then they proceed to ask the question. I love that. I'm like, no, go ahead, please ask me all of your questions. There's no silly question. I think when you do that initial call, it's a lot of overwhelming information because you have 30 minutes and you're just going back and forth and back and forth with all of this info that you're sharing. So yeah, there's definitely no silly questions. You're taking in a lot of new information and you should be very comfortable and open and feel like you can ask those hard questions to your agent. That's what they're there for.
Definitely. And I think it's just a good reminder for authors, like that is just as much your opportunity to interview the agent as it is them to you, right? Like you want to make sure it's going to be a good match. I don't remember which agent, and I feel like so many agents have echoed this, but you know, it's kind of like the start of a new relationship and you're like, okay, are we going to work well together? You know, like, are we compatible in these certain ways? And it's really important that authors take that seriously, even though you want to just be signed by a literary agent, right? Just to achieve that goal. It is really important not to just like jump in without asking any questions.
For sure. And you definitely want to make sure that the agent is a good fit for you. This is somebody who you're going to be working very closely with over the course of months or years. So you want to make sure that you're similar in communication styles, your ideas when it comes to editing, the vision for the book itself. These are all things you want to make sure that you align really well on.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And it's, yeah, like you said, there's no silly questions. It's okay to ask questions. Don't be nervous. Sometimes I think too, you know, we as authors kind of like mysticalize literary agents. So it can maybe feel like a little starstruck when you get on that that call. But you guys are people who just love books and want to make books happen too.
Exactly. And I will say those feelings are reciprocated often between the agent and the author. Whenever we get on a call, like we love the work if we're willing to hop on a call and be willing to represent it. So it's like you get to talk to one of your new favorite authors. So you're like, oh my goodness, I love when you did this in your story.
I just have a couple questions left for you. I'd love for you to tell me what you're looking for in your query inbox right now. Like what's on your manuscript wish list?
Yeah, so I would love to see more fiction in the new adult space. I see that oftentimes whenever people feel like they're kind of aging out of YA, they have a hard time finding books that they connect with when the main characters are kind of where they are in their stage of life. So that's something that I would love to see is some new adult fiction to kind of bridge that gap between young adult and general adult fiction. And going back to my love of Nancy Drew, I also love to see main characters who are strong females. I love to see their wit and their grit and their perseverance. So show me all of that.
Yes, Nancy Drew is just, she's just like so near and dear to our hearts. I love her. So my last question is not hard, even though it sounds hard. I'd love to know what your favorite book is right now. This is not your favorite book of all time, just something you've read recently or two or three. Sometimes, you know, you can't contain yourself. Just books you've read recently that you're like, that is really good and other people need to know about it.
Oh my goodness. So this actually might be the hardest question of all, just because my favorite book is always changing because I read all the time. Anything by Ann Gabbert is going to make the list. So she is actually an author who's from Kentucky, my home state. Her books are typically historical Christian fiction, So I love the way that she weaves those faith elements in there in really authentic ways. It doesn't feel forced like some Christian fiction books do. But one of my favorite things about her work, too, is the way that she is able to get in the head of multiple characters. Her books are often from multiple perspectives. So whether it's like a 10-year-old girl or a 50-year-old gentleman, it all feels so believable. And I'm excited about each chapter. I'm like, how in the world does she do this? How can she act like a 10-year-old girl and get in her head? And then the next chapter is a 50-year-old man.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So anything by her is definitely on my list.
That's awesome. Do you have one, like one title that's like sticks in your head that you love to recommend to people of hers?
I think Angel Sister. It's the first book, and I think it's a trilogy.
Angel Sister.
That's definitely a good one. And okay. Again, we got those multiple perspectives in there.
I love it. I love people who can do that too. You know, make it so, because sometimes in multiple POV books, you can kind of be like, okay, this sort of feels the same, but with different names. So I love when people can write such different characters and have it all be so unique and fresh.
Yeah, I know sometimes whenever I'm reading a multiple perspectives book, one chapter I'm really excited about and the next chapter it switches and I'm like, oh man, you know, take me back to the other character. But in hers, they all feel so exciting and fresh.
Oh, I love it. That's such a great recommendation. Thank you. Well, you know, I'm so excited for you as you're continuing to build your list. And I hope that people are able to get to know you a little bit better, understand what you're looking for, and that you get some good new queries in your inbox with what you're looking for.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me today. It's super fun.